Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast.
Yes.
Just a couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media folks who bring you Locked On Clips 5 days a week.
7 a.m. Come hang.
Monday through Friday. It's always a great hang.
7.05 a.m. is the record for someone listening to our podcast, by the way.
Can you beat it? We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to be kicking things off with a recap of that win over the Hornets. Talk about what we liked, as well as a couple of things that we didn't like. Not a whole lot to dislike from a win like that, but we're going to talk about it. And then we're going to be looking ahead to the Clips taking on the Hawks.
Oh, man, the night that you're listening to this, the Hawks are coming in literally as good as they could possibly come.
Coming in hot, 8-game win streak. So we're going to talk about what we need to do well to win that one, as well as what could go wrong. Give you a couple of key matchups to take a look at. And then it's Monday, which means the freshies. It's usually where we talk about the new guys. It has unofficially become the Luke Kennard progress report. Unfortunately, which we will talk about. There's not a whole lot of positive
to report on that.
And then we have a shout out to a great friend of the pod, listener of the pod.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the right thing. So all that and more coming up right about now. But I got to let you know, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar.
Built Bar.
Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, so nice little win for the Clips on Saturday night. It was 125-98 win over the Hornets. Before we get into kind of what we liked and what we disliked, pregame, they were talking about Serge and Pat Bev.
Yeah.
And Ty Lue was asked what Serge and Pat Bev have been doing at practice, and the answer was a concise nothing.
Not.
So just something to kind of think about. But what did we like in this one? This was a great game from the Clips kind of on both ends.
Yeah. I think that was good to see Kawhi's commitment on both ends of the floor. He did talk about continuity, and I think that this is going to be like a through line for the rest of the season just because, you know, it was a big thing for him to say. A lot of that starts from him.
For sure.
Like, the continuity starts and ends with, you know, the attention that he's going to bring to both sides of the floor.
Yeah.
And this one, I thought he was very efficient overall, but, like, the defensive commitment was huge. Mm-hmm. He did end with 4 steals. Paul George was also great.
Was this Paul George's best offensive game of the year? I know we've seen him score a lot more than this. But all around game.
As a facilitator, I mean, easily.
Yeah. His first ever 20-point 10 assist, no turnovers.
Yeah, 10 assists with 0 turnovers is very, very impressive.
It's so damn hard to do that.
Yeah.
For point guards.
Like. Yeah, absolutely.
But no, it was great on that end. And then the Clippers made an effort to get into the lane in this game, which was good. Everyone's doing a good job of, like, actually trying to get to the paint. There were some new things instilled from Ty Lue. We attempted 30 shots in the restricted area.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
And when you hit those shots, it opens everything else up.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, this one, we had like 58% of our field goals were assisted.
Yep.
So, the majority of them were assisted. And that, you know, that happens because of that aggressiveness in the paint.
Mm-hmm. Terrence Mann showed that he is not an elite finisher, but he looked like one last night. 16 points, 7 of 10 shooting. That was a season high from him. He gets to the middle of the paint and makes good decisions, or at least he was in this game. He hits someone with a dream shake that led to a wide open layup. He hits these, you know, kind of awkward looking layups that just go in all the time. He looks aggressive on the fast break. This was a great Terrence Mann offensive game. It seems like he's picking up a lot from Kawhi in terms of the getting to your spots aspect of the offensive game.
Yeah, definitely. He understands his role and
he knows what he's good at.
He's confident in it.
Yeah. Which is great.
Like, yeah. And I think that's both a credit to him and, you know, Kenny Atkinson and the player development staff.
For sure.
From where we started this season, I did not think we'd be talking about Mann as much as we are.
No.
And in as positive of a light as we are. So that's been a very welcome surprise this season.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about something that's like a medium like to dislike. It's more of just a question.
Just a what's going on.
How do we feel about the starters all playing 30 plus minutes in a game that was a blowout? That was effectively over in, you know, the third quarter.
I mean, so on one hand, I guess I like it. Ty Lue said pregame he's going to try and play guys more bigger minutes in the last 30 games to get ready for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I like that from that aspect, but there's a part of you that's like, why is Paul George in still? Why is Kawhi? Because Kawhi fell a couple times, hit the deck in this game.
Yeah.
And one, I think the second one,
everyone was playing really hard.
Everyone was kind of like, oh, maybe it's time for Kawhi to not be playing anymore. And that was in the third. I can't remember if he got any fourth quarter minutes. I'm sure he did a little bit, but it feels like a necessary evil at this point, right?
Well, yeah. No, I agree. So that's, I'm not disappointed in it. It's just interesting. Doc talked about last year that conditioning was an issue for some guys. And that was, granted, they had had such a long break and then such a short runway to get into the playoffs. So it makes sense to kind of ramp this up.
But in a complete ass kicking of a Western or an Eastern Conference team.
Well, that's the thing, right? The modern fan in me is you don't really need to play players that much in a game like this.
Yeah.
But I think that I'm kind of leaning towards, I do like the ramping up aspect, especially just, once again, we're down two starters. Guys are just going to, at a certain
point. They have to.
Yeah, at a certain point, you just need bodies. And I don't think it's getting any better in terms of availability.
Yeah. We're not going to all of a sudden be the healthiest team.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's maybe not a bad idea to be think about ramping them up and thinking about playoff minutes right now.
Yeah, that's a good call. Got a good team effort in terms of scoring 7 guys in double digits. Zoo had 10, 5, and 3 assists. The passing out of the role was great. And Batum added 11, 5, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a dunk. That's just a good time.
Did not make a 3. Interestingly.
I think that was out of kindness of his heart because the Hornets are paying him so much money. What did we not like in this game?
Well, overall, the team struggled from 3.
Yeah.
Look, we only connected on 35% of our looks from deep, which, I'm not going to freak out about it. We've had some kind of up and down games.
And it's only been games that have been up and down. I don't think we've strung together multiple games of bad 3-point shooting.
Yeah.
It's kind of been off and on.
It is off and on. Yeah. Hot and cold. But interesting, just with where 3-point shooting is right now in the league.
Yeah.
If you averaged 35% on a season.
Yeah.
Where do you think you would be in the standings?
I don't know. Pretty low.
Bottom 10.
Yeah.
Around 22nd. Damn. In the NBA in terms of percentage.
Wow.
Kawhi didn't make a 3 in this one. It's fine. He did a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
I think my biggest...
threw down a sick oop from Paul George. Kawhi was also dunking a bunch last night.
Oh, yeah. Did he have the most single game dunks he's had all season?
Because Justin Russo put a stat out that he's had 7 over his last 2 games, which is tied for the most he's ever had over a 2-game stretch. And, he was mad that Reggie didn't throw him another oop after that. Kawhi was well-rested. Shout out Joseph Ryan. he looked spry.
Another thing that I have is Morris's fouls.
This was almost an issue in this game.
He had 5 personal fouls, almost fouled out of a game. And there's just playing a team like this, I don't think there's any need to play that way.
Yeah. They're a fast team, but I agree.
You're a vet though, man. You got to just be a little bit more disciplined than that.
For sure.
I know that he's working back still, and this is what, his 3rd game in the starting lineup, something like that.
Yeah.
So it does make sense that he's still a little bit, he's getting those habits kind of back in place. But I guess the thing that kind of irks me, I just find worrisome, is that with all the absences we already have, we can't afford to have to bench guys because they're in foul trouble.
Yeah,
exactly.
That makes it so we have to play starters more.
It's fine spots. In a game where you're up 30, but why are you almost fouling out in a game that you're up 30?
For sure. Great win overall, I was in the building at Staples. Sure. Really, I cannot wait for fans to be back at Staples. When Kawhi hit the oop, and it was just I wish the crowd could have been there to just, I want Terrence Mann's been playing so well. And he hasn't been able to do it in front of fans. And I'm so excited for him to play well in front of some fans.
Oh, yeah. Especially these fans. Oof.
These fans these days?
It's going to be great.
It was a good win. Clips are looking good right now. Coming up, we're going to be previewing the kind of terrifying matchup against the Hawks on the day that you're listening to this. But first, we got to give a shout out to Theragun.
Got it.
Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me, also an elite athlete, just trying to make it through the day tension-free, Theragun can help. Theragun is a handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good, it gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, an injury, or just the stresses of everyday life, there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid and elite athletes like Paul George, we know him, DeAndre Hopkins, hundreds of thousands of customers and me. I've injured the Theragun every once in a while. Try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to theragun.com/lockedon right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's theragun.com/lockedon, theragun.com/lockedon. And once you're stressed, like what would make you stressed, Will?
You know, if you've ever had run-ins with an old-timey bookie.
That's not fun.
Talking about a different percussive therapy, tell you what.
I'll tell you what.
But there's a better way. It's Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. It's the only place we trust. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are all in full swing. But it's not just sports. Bet Online covers awards, TV shows, reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
Whoa.
BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. One more time, gotta let you know, you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on top of your first deposit with that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, welcome to this. I mean, looming matchup with the red hot Atlanta Hawks since firing their coach. They are 8-0. They're playing their best basketball of the year, maybe the last couple of years. Like, what do we need to do on this one? Let's get right into it.
I think we need to get back to the paint. We did a great job of being aggressive in the paint, getting the rack last game. I think we need to continue that trend.
Yeah.
To me, look, there is Capella. But I think overall the Hawks are a little bit at a size disadvantage against this team. Yeah, and I think that they're going to really struggle defending this team in the paint, just especially given like the versatile looks that we have, mm-hmm. you know, with Paul George and Kawhi, on top of, you know, more traditional guards getting there. I think they're going to struggle with us a little bit in that regard. And, you know, this ties into your thing, I think, but looking for those second chance opportunities, I think the Hawks will struggle against us.
So during this 8-game streak, the Hawks are averaging 46 rebounds a game with a 53.2 total rebound percentage, which would be best in the league on the year. I'm pretty sure Utah's first in the league right now with 53.2. So over these 8 games, the Hawks are quite literally the best percentage-wise rebounding team in the league. They give up the second most offensive rebounds in the league, though.
Yes.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for Zoo to have a solid game in that regard. Surge, if he plays. Bev can sink those in if he plays too. But we just got to, if we win the boards, I think it's going to be very hard for the Hawks to beat us in this game.
Yeah, definitely. Got to move the ball well. The Hawks defensively right now are honestly tied with the Clippers nearly in the standings in terms of defensive rating, which is really, really depressing.
That kind of pisses me off.
Yeah, it's really, really depressing. But I think they don't really have the type of guys who are going to pressure the ball a lot. So I think we need to move the ball around well, not really let their defense get set. And I think that they're going to have a really difficult time defending us in that sort of, if we can get that kind of motion going like we saw against the Hornets.
What else we got to do well?
Just get stops.
Hey, here for it.
Look, I mean, the defense has looked a little bit more staunch lately.
Yes.
it has looked...
Past two games, opponents under 100.
It looks a lot more cohesive.
Yeah.
And I know we lost that Mavs game, but even that one...
around 100. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The defense still looked pretty good there at times. So, Hawks are an interesting team to defend.
Yeah, it's weird.
A lot of
guys... You think they take a lot more threes than they do, but it's not even top 10 in attempts.
Well, they just have so many guys who can make plays for each other.
Yeah.
So, like, almost everybody in their starting lineup can put the ball on the floor.
And Nate McMillan has figured it the hell out for all those guys, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, definitely. We don't want to get lured into a shootout in this one.
Yeah. That goes into what could go wrong, which is their hot shooting continues. During this 8-game win streak, they're only taking 1.5 more 3-point attempts per game than they usually do, which I was kind of surprised by. But they're hitting them at a 39% clip versus 36% clip. It doesn't sound that big, but 39% is pretty. I mean, you know, the Clippers are the best jump shooting team.
I mean, that's a little bit under a 10% increase.
Yeah. So we just have to make things difficult for their shooters, which is hard because it's kind of a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Trae Young, around 8 3-point attempts a game. Herder and Bogdanović, 7. Gallo and Reddish, 5. Like, bench or starters, they have guys who can light it up from three. And we all know what it looks like when Gallo gets hot from three. If their hot shooting keeps going, I think we're going to fall into your trap, which is the shootout.
Definitely. Definitely. Also, we got to watch the fouls again. We can't let them live at the line. Yeah. They have the third best free throw attempt rate in the league.
Yeah.
We know that Trae Young is a master of this. It's now like a highly controversial thing. Not basketball.
So also just on this podcast, we love Trae Young.
Yeah.
And the idea that he's like ruining the game or like the foul hunting, sure, is a little more prevalent this year than it has been in his other seasons, but it's not how he scores, right? Like, he scores every other way possible, except for dunks, pretty much.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. He's also become one of those players that I feel like becomes a lightning rod for some sort of controversy or something. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. There was another thing about Trae Young where he was hunting for assists, which, like, I don't understand how that could ever be a negative.
What a selfish player trying to get
like, I truly don't understand. Like, isn't that the entire point of being a point guard? To hunt so for assists? But anyways, he's not the only one who gets to the line. Gallo, Collins, Capella, all guys in that, like, 3-4. They average, like, 3-4 free throw attempts per game. Nearly 30% of the Hawks' field goal attempts are ending in free throws.
Oh, so, whoa.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I don't like that.
However, defensively, we're top 10 in terms of not letting teams get to the line. Teams are only getting to the line about 23% of the time.
Nice. And also, you have a note in here. Trade deadline's coming up.
Yeah.
It's going to be the 22nd when you're listening to this. There's going to be 3 days.
That's insane. Is nothing happening? The Clippers are about to do something wild.
You said this. You think this might be the John Collins auditioning. And Clippers Twitter was talking about this last time the Hawks were playing too.
So I don't know that the Clips like have the goods to get it done, or that it necessarily helps. I think he's an interesting player. Yeah. I don't know if like that's the move. But John Collins right now, I mean, he's in a contract year. It seems like the Hawks, just like with where their money's at, probably aren't going to be able to keep him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if, because since they're doing so well right now, like, I'm not sure if they would trade him.
Right.
But it, you know, it makes sense that he would want to show out in case he, you know, has the chance to get moved to a contender.
Yeah. And he killed the Lakers.
Oh, yeah. He torched the Lakers. He was great.
Key matchups. I mean, the big one, the whole team versus Trae Young.
Yeah.
It's the exact kind of guard that can kill the Clippers.
Which oh, definitely.
If you give him floaters, he's going to make his floaters.
Yeah.
And if you drop, it's Trae Young. He's going to make his threes.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see kind of how Kawhi and PG deal with this, because if he gets hot early, I want to see our two best defenders on him. I don't know if Pat Bev's going to be in this game. I can't imagine that he is.
I don't think
we're recording this at noon on Sunday. So we haven't gotten the injury report yet, but that's interesting. Also, cleaning the glass. We were just talking about Collins. Has Young and Collins lineups at plus 8.7, which is in the 90th percentile.
Damn.
So it's going to be a big task slowing those guys down when they're out there. But on the other side of the ball, I think Kawhi and PG have a good chance to have a nice 2-3 game in this one.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm curious to see how Paul George, I think that he's defensively, I think that we'll see him with some pretty heavy minutes on Trae. I think that's a good matchup. I want Kawhi on Collins.
Okay. Yeah. Just this completely shut him down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Completely shut him down.
Okay. So another one. For matchups, I'm not sure if we're kind of shorthanded right now. I don't know if the bench is going to be able to keep up with the Hawks.
Yeah.
They have some names on that second unit. They have Rondo. They have Bogdanovich. They have Gallo.
The solution to the Clippers' problems, Rajon Rondo.
Look, Rondo hasn't been scoring very much, but he's averaging like five or six assists a game. I think like with the type of second unit that is, you know, more based on like movement, I think that's going to be really tough for our second unit to have to guard
with Kawhi and PG. Yeah.
And it's going to make it that much more difficult for those guys when they defensively have to cover
that
in their
first
minutes
quarter
with
for
the
Kawhi
second unit.
It's going to be something to look at.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a good call. Serge or Zoo versus Clint Capella. Capella just kind of routinely kills us. Even when he was with the Rockets, we'd put Trez out there and he would just
kill us. He's so athletic. If he wasn't so highly paid, I mean, like, I really like Capella.
Yeah. Not sure I want Serge starting in this one. If he's not able to do anything at practice right now, I don't want him starting against Clint Capella, who's playing really, really good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, let's get Zoo out there. What's your prediction for this game?
It's also, your prediction. This is also, Zoo has talked about this. This is the kind of matchup that he thrives for, that he like, he circles on the calendar.
It's a good call.
So my prediction in this one, oh man. Okay. So I think that I think that if we put it on early once again, we're going to be able to put this one away. I think if things get ticky-tacky or they get close, the Hawks are just so well put together right now. And like they have the momentum that I think the Hawks take this one in a close game.
And they're rested.
Yeah.
They played on Friday.
Yeah.
Got 2 days of rest. And they get one. Shout out Joseph Ryan Ward again. I think the Clippers win this one. I think it's going to be a good time. Coming up, we're going to be talking the Luke Kennard progress report, which they have an ink on our pens for these. But first, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problems here. Blue Chew's sildenafil and tadalafil tablets are chewable. The tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Receive your first month free, and we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast.
We do. Now something else that you could chew. How about a Built Bar? Look, we've been telling you about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market easily. We've been talking about it for a while now. It's the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all the bars. So now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best.
Ooh.
It's Built Bar Madness.
Whoa.
Caramel brownie is in the enticing eight. It'll face either coconut brownie chunk or lemon almond cheesecake. Who you got?
I think lemon almond cheesecake might go all the way.
I think coconut.
People love that damn flavor, and it's good.
Coconut brownie chunk is a dark horse for me. It's a little underrated. I think it's very good.
Brownies are pretty heavily represented in this tournament.
Yeah.
I
like a hint of coconut.
That's a good call.
So anyways, go to BuiltBar.com or at Built_Bar_Built on Twitter. That's @Bar_Built on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar.
Okay, so welcome to what is usually the Freshly/Luke Kennard progress report. And man, the Luke Kennard experience is now the ball is firmly in Ty Lue's court in terms of what the hell's going on with this.
Yeah, agreed.
It's not, so he got garbage time in the Hornets game. The Clippers were up 30 and Pat Bev was out, so it was time for Luke Kennard to play. Scored 8, hit 2 of his 3 threes, upped the percentage a little bit for the Clippers on the game, which was great. And here's the thing with the Kennard situation, right? Like, from what I've seen, people aren't saying Kennard should be playing like 15 minutes a game right now. We're not even at that point anymore. We're at the point where if Reggie isn't playing well, what is the harm in putting Luke Kennard in earlier than when the game is completely put away?
Yeah.
It's not, you know, I'm not saying, we're not, people aren't saying like triple and quadruple his minutes loads, but if Reggie doesn't have it that night and Pat Bev is out, what is the harm?
No, I agree with you. I think it's unfortunate because I feel like, I mean, at this point, we're completely punting on any Luke Kennard appearance in the playoffs.
I was just thinking that he's not going to play in the playoffs. And if he is, things are either going really well or really bad.
Yeah. So he played just over 6.5 minutes in that 30-point blowout against a team that we had on the ropes for most of the game.
The whole game, pretty much.
But looking at some of the other guard numbers, I'm going to leave Paul George out of the conversation because he's got to get his minutes, and he's Paul George. Reggie played just under 21 minutes. Lou Will played right around 20. Terrence Mann played 23 minutes.
He deserved those minutes.
More than any other guard. Yeah. So I guess the question is, who do you want to play less so Luke Kennard can play more?
It's between Reggie and Lou. If they're not hitting their shots and they're... Reggie has those games sometimes where you're like, oh, we're getting good Reggie Jackson. And then he has the games where he's doing like the gallop before he throws a pass and you just know it's going to be a turnover or he's not hitting shots. I think Lou Will went 1 of 4 from deep.
I know, but he got to the line 6 times. It was really important.
So like, game, I would have chosen Reggie.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because it's not like there's this system for Luke where we know exactly when he should come in and do his thing because it's all garbage time. So we don't even know what kind of personnel Luke Kennard is good against.
So I think that what you bring up there is really the underlying issue to me.
Yeah.
We can't test lineups with Luke Kennard in them if we don't play Luke Kennard.
Yeah, we don't know who he's good against. Like
And we don't know like what kind of chemistry he has with other guys. I mean, I'm sure they run him in practice and all
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And everything that Tyler said, different. He's been ready in practice, he's been playing great in practice. But games are games.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's just different.
What is the resolution at this point?
I don't know. Either Reggie to start playing really terribly.
Which again, I don't want to happen. Because there's also, if you really look at the numbers for Reggie Jackson shooting and where he's at and like the pick and roll and stuff, they're really good.
It is.
That's why it's got, and like we're starting at such a small like building block for where Luke Kennard fits in the Clippers. It can just be some spot minutes.
Yeah.
Like for a spark or something.
And to be fair, I mean, Luke played, like I said, around 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes. Reggie played 20. They took around the same amount of field goal attempts.
Yeah, like.
So I think that that's part of the thing hurting Luke Kennard too, is like, if he's not out there with the ball in his hands to score, what is he really doing?
Yeah, for sure.
Because, I don't think they've figured that out yet.
Yeah, that's a good call. It's definitely not, we don't know what he does. For regular unit minute.
He's not as comfortable off ball as Reggie or Terrence Mann.
Yeah. Which is a sentence that like, damn.
And he's arguably even worse than, I mean, he's definitely worse than Terrence Mann, but like even worse than Reggie on defense.
Yeah, I think so. Well, then that's also hard for me to like, in my head, yes, but I also haven't seen him on the court with Kawhi and PG or other good defenders, right?
Where you know what, that's like, a fair point
like,
too.
I don't know, maybe.
That's a fair point too. If depending on the personnel you're with, it can make you look a lot better. Definitely.
So I don't know. We hope Kennard...
Reggie led the team in plus minus in that Hornets game.
And there's so many weird things like that. We're like, well, I don't know. It's weird. We hope it gets resolved soon. Or doesn't. I don't know. Clippers win like 10 out of 12 and Kennard's just not playing. I'm going to be like, well, this sucks.
10 out of 12?
I know, at some point.
That's like, what it's going to take for you to think that it's good?
Well, I mean, like in terms of like, wanting Kennard to play and being worried about it.
Gotcha.
I'm not going to be like pounding my fists on the table if the Clippers are hitting some streak and it's like, but Kennard needs to be playing. Like,
but what about Kennard?
I'm not one of those Twitter accounts, if you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And then just wrapping up shavings, kind of a fun random thing happened on Saturday night on Clippers Twitter.
Absolutely.
We got to give a shout out to Arno Medathian. He said he'd donate $100 to the charity of our choice if the Clippers won by more than 12 versus the Hornets, which looking back, you could have done 20. We still would have got it. But this was fantastic.
Absolutely.
We ended up matching his donation. And then Clipper Twitter user at Clip Parr, who might be related to John Parr now that I'm thinking about it, ended up matching it. We got $300 towards the Asian Americans Advancing Justice, which is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shout out to everyone who maybe donated or something.
Shout out
like
to
that.
Everybody who donated.
Might have to get some donation trains going more often.
Honestly, like, if you have the means, it feels good.
Yeah, it feels good. I was sitting there in the weird socially distanced Clippers game, just donating like a lunatic. Of course, we at Locked On Clips stand with the Asian community and we'll do our best to stop Asian hate. It can't get forgotten what's still happening.
Yeah.
It's still happening.
Yeah.
The weekend didn't wash any of this stuff away.
Nope.
It's horrible. Go back and listen to Paul George's quotes that we ran back on the Thursday episode. He got it right. The world's everybody's, you know?
Yeah.
Tuesday's episode, we're gonna have a recap of that hopeful victory versus the best team in the league right now, the Hawks. We took down the Wizards when they were the best team in the league on that 6-game streak. Maybe we can take the Hawks.
They were on a heater.
Dude, that was insane. It's gonna be Twitter Tuesday, so send those questions into @LockedOnClips on Twitter. We'll do our best to answer all of them. You guys send so many fantastic ones, it is hard to choose. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, we know there's March Madness, but why don't you watch some actual competitive basketball?
Whoa, shots fired
at the NCAA. Well, where can these people tell their friends to listen to their podcast?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can always tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clips. Yeah, tell your friends if they're not listening to this podcast. Are they even your friends? Wow. Subscribe.
We're putting up walls here. We're just trying to break them down, but between your personal friends, we're putting up walls.
You fire shots now. I feel like I got to fire shots. The whole thing's getting very aggro. We got to get out of here.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.